Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to be here with you today. As you heard Leonard say during his prayer, we got three speakers today. It's three speakers, but it's one message.
Amen.
Getting us in preparation for our 21-day fast. And I'm going to start out giving a message on praying during this fast. Then I'm going to turn it over to Shani, who's going to talk about the fasting itself. And then we're going to round it out with Mary giving us an awesome word on feasting on the Word of God. So we're just really excited about that. And, you know, I mentioned earlier during the announcements that it's been several weeks since I've been here and seen some of you, and I think it might have been even 6 or 7 weeks. But back in October, November, I began experiencing symptoms similar to what I experienced when I was first diagnosed with prostate cancer. And before I go further, I can share that the tests I've had so far, they've shown no growths, no tumors, no anything like that. So I'm very glad, very grateful for that. But along the way, I was experiencing extreme fatigue along with those symptoms. And since I've returned from North Carolina, those Christmas celebrations down there, well, I've had this massive cold that you might hear a little bit, but it's all good. The Lord's got me. But on top of this, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, I was having significant trouble processing that my mother was no longer here and being the last living member of my immediate family. And it threw me off because last Christmas season, she passed last year, so last Christmas season, I seemed to be doing great. You know, I was handling it well. When I was sad, I let myself experience grief. But this year, there was this heaviness that I just couldn't overcome. So I prayed and I sought counsel, yet between the sickness and heaviness, I continued to struggle. So I'm really glad to be bringing this portion of today's message, praying on our fast that's going to start on tomorrow, because over the last month, I've had this opportunity to pray through worry, to pray through anxiety, to pray through heaviness, and even when I didn't feel like it, or couldn't put the words together, those opportunities to just be in the Lord's presence. So I encourage you during these next few weeks of fasting, the first, set aside time to just sit in God's presence. At home in North Carolina during Christmas, as I drove past the neighborhood where my mother's home was, I remember visiting her and being in my bedroom late at night watching television. Both me and my mom had this habit of being up late when we're on vacation, having nothing to do, watching TV. And inevitably, between 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd hear this light rap on the door. David, are you doing okay? Do you have everything you need? And I'm like, okay, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm pretty sure I do. And I would just laugh because I know what she really wanted was just to spend as much time with me as she could while I was in town visiting, to be in my presence and for me to be in hers. And just like with my mom or that person you treasure in your life, whether it's a parent figure, wife, husband, child, dear friend, our Heavenly Father longs for us to be in His presence and for Him to be in ours. I encourage you to do so more than typically over these next few weeks. Let's get ready to read together Psalm 27 and 8. And in this Psalms 27, David was proclaiming his firm belief that the Lord would deliver him from his enemies. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David prayed to the Lord about overcoming his enemies. What situation do you want to bring to the Lord during this fast? Are there things for which you have been seeking answers or purpose, but are waiting to hear clearly from the Lord about? David writes about his heart calling for the Lord. Let's read 27 and 8 together. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Amen. Thank you. In David's spirit or his heart, he knew the Lord's presence is where he needed to be. His heart said, seek his face. Now in the Amplified Classic Edition Bible version, that version flips this subject from starting with David's heart directing him to go to the Lord to stating that the Lord directed David to seek the Lord's presence. And it reads, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. I will inquire for and require." And this Amplified Bible version, it adds for emphasis that to seek the Lord's face is to understand our vital need for him. That more important than the need or the issue that we bring to him, and make no mistake, he cares about the things that we care about, the things that concern us. But the first thing he wants us to know is that being in his presence is the greatest need. So point one, during these next few weeks of fasting, spend time seeking God's presence. Now, what is another reason to fast and pray? In a fasting period, when we put down the thing that is a sacrifice for us, that thing that can be a barrier between us and the Lord, it puts us in a place where we might better hear his voice without the noise of our own, my own, self-centered desires, or perhaps other people's expectations on us. When I think about hearing the Lord's voice and how hearing the Lord's voice is even possible, I think of the 10th chapter of John and the events surrounding Jesus' healing of the blind man on the Sabbath. And in these passages, Jesus described himself as the good shepherd who knows his sheep and that his sheep know him. Also, he describes himself as the gate for the sheep, signifying that he is the way to salvation and the abundant life. And through our belief in him, we find our security in him. And much like a mother who knows the specific sound of her baby's cries, and a baby knows the voice of his or her own mother's voice out of all the other mothers around him, so it is with us who believe and have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Let us read John 10:27 together. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Amen. So during these next few weeks of fasting and praying, we encourage you to point to seek the Lord's voice. Now, because we are already his, during this time of fasting and praying, this awesome blessing that we have of hearing his voice, we do understand that for some of us, that's kind of tricky a little bit. So I can guarantee you when Shani comes up, she's going to give you a good word about how to hear the Lord's voice. So I'm really looking forward to what she has to share. Amen? Amen. All right. So I like it. When we set aside a period for fasting and praying, it demonstrates to the Lord our trust and hope in him and his power. In and of ourselves, we don't have the answers or the best answers, but he does. When I spoke earlier of experiencing symptoms similar to what I had when I was first diagnosed with prostate cancer, even though the major test came back negative, I still don't know why these symptoms showed up. I don't know why this is happening now. The medical staff don't know, but he knows. And when I was experiencing that heaviness related to the loss of my mom, I didn't know why it was showing up the way it did this year, as opposed to last year when I seemed that I was doing so well. But this is what I did. Let's read Proverbs 3:5 together. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. For whatever problem, question, issue, or situation that we bring to him during this fasting season, he has the answers we seek." So on point three, on the benefits of fasting and praying, is to seek his answers or his purposes. And for those times when those answers or his purpose are not immediately made known, we can use this time to build up our trust that his answers, known or unknown to us, are the right answers. So not only is this a time of fasting and praying good for learning God's answers and purposes, it can also be a good time for seeking his guidance and direction on how to move forward on those answers or how to carry out the purposes he designed for us in our situations. Sometimes he gives us one step, and as we step out on that step, he'll share the next step. And sometimes he gives detailed steps. Let's read Exodus 34, 27 through 28. And excuse me if I'm blocking you, but I know if I move that way, we're going to have some issues. So let's read together. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you in Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Thank you. Maybe the Lord's guidance and directions to you might be this detail. Maybe he gives you a simple word. Go. Stop. Listen. Whatever it is, I'm just encouraged and already looking forward to what he's going to do in my life during this fast and what he's going to do in yours. So during this time of heaviness that I experienced during this Christmas, talking about directions and guidance from the Lord, in going to the Lord, one of the directions I received from him was to focus on giving and sharing, and that I would find the answer or relief to my heaviness while in North Carolina. Because typically at Christmas time, my entire focus would be on giving to my mother. Well, in redirecting my giving, it opened my eyes to other relationships in my family, in my church, and in my community, which I learned I could pay a little bit more attention to. That heaviness, when I went down to North Carolina, my family there lovingly called me out that I hadn't been in North Carolina since the year before. Now, these are my family members who live closest to my mom and know her most intimately. And they, you know, because they're there with her all the time, as opposed to my extended family here. But they were looking to be there for me. But also importantly, they were looking for me to be there for them. Because they are my connection to her. And for them, I am their connection to her. So my last point for you this morning on the benefits of setting aside added time for prayer during fasting, to seek God's guidance and direction. So during this time of fasting, take the time, make the time, individually and as a church community, to one, seek God's presence, two, to seek God's voice, three, to seek God's answers or his purposes, and four, to seek God's guidance and direction. I'll turn it over to Shani.
Good word. Thank you so much for adjusting that. Because other than that, you would just see my chin. Well, so David started us off talking about the importance of prayer, and thank you for that. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to share a little bit about the importance of the fasting part, right? We all know what fasting is. Fasting, by the definition in the dictionary, says that you're just going to abstain from food. But if I may, I'm going to stretch that definition a little bit and define it as the act of sacrificially abstaining from something that fuels you. Because you know that anytime we fast, it doesn't necessarily have to be that you're fasting from food. We're fasting from technology, social media. You can fast from anything that kind of gives you life. You know, Pastor Jen shared last week that while she was waiting for her brand new phone to come in, she had a day, I guess, without her cell phone, and we all know how much that gives you life. And so I think this hour of fasting from our phone or from whatever it is that you choose is going to be pretty powerful. So let's talk, though, about why we're going to fast, because that's the question I always ask myself anytime somebody says, hey, let's fast. Why are you doing this? So that's the question I want you to ask yourself. Why are you fasting this time? Is it because it's out of a response to some need, like David shared? Maybe something's going on in your life, and you're like, I really need to ratchet up, not just pray, but I'm going to add fasting to it at this time. Or is it because it's just routine? My church said do it, so we're going to do it. I do it every January, so this is just something I do. And for some of us, it might be because of some health benefit. You know, some of us do intermittent fasting. You know, you just do it just for health reasons. So I really want you to give some thought to why you're entering into this fast. And as I looked this week at different passages in Scripture that talked about fasting, I noticed a pattern. Read with me Joel 1, verse 14. It says, Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. What I noticed as I looked at all of the godly people who fasted throughout Scripture is they fasted because they were hungry to hear from God. You know, whenever I fast, I think of it almost like an annual checkup to check my hearing, to see how good am I at, how's my hearing of God going? So it doesn't necessarily have to be anything going on in my life, but whenever I fast, that's a time for me to check in and see, can I turn down the noise of the world for just a moment, and can I listen in because I want to see, can I hear what God has to say to me in this moment, in this day and time, for the year, whatever it is I'm praying about, right? So I, as David said, I'm going to give you some tips that I've experienced. I don't have a how-to manual or anything like that. But if I can, I just want to share some things that I found helpful when I fasted. So the first is picking something that's sacrificial, something that's going to cost you something. You know, I participated in a fast throughout the years where, you know, they say, hey, we're going to fast breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. So that's not a sacrifice for me. You know, but anytime I fast, I make sure that it's something that's going to hurt a little bit. You know, something that I'm going to realize, oh, my goodness, I was going to reach for that. Nope, let me not do that. Let me go ahead and give this thing to God. So first tip, make it something that's sacrificial. So we're doing social media and things like that. But if that's not a thing for you, then add on to this fast. Add on to it something that makes it important to you. Because when I value it, when I give up something that's important to me, that's what makes it even that much better. The second thing is I always enter every fast with the expectation that I am going to hear from God by the end of this fast. Simple as that. I don't do it for grins. I do it because, God, I am expecting that you're going to talk to me. And because of that, I always pull out a brand new journal, or I get to open up a fresh page of one that hasn't been used yet, and I get ready to record what God is going to say. And as a matter of fact, the most recent fast I was on, I fasted from television. So I went on one of those little silent retreats and got by myself and cracked open a journal. And so just my first entry, I arrived at this secluded place, and I don't know what to expect. My scattered brain is so on fire with activity and possibility that I'm not sure how to approach this time. So I commit to journal my thoughts in eager anticipation that God will transform these minutes and moments into something supernatural. And he did, y'all. I don't have time to tell you. I don't have time to tell you, but if you will read with me Acts 13, 2 through 3, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The part that jumps out to me in that verse is the first part of the first sentence. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So I need you to expect that God's going to speak to you during this time, seriously, right? Because fasting sets this atmosphere just to get you ready. Like I mentioned, I get a chance to turn down the noise of whatever thoughts are in my head, whatever's going on in my life, and I get a chance to devote that time to listening. Now, as David mentioned, some of you are probably saying, I'm not sure if I've heard God. I don't really know how that kind of works. So if I could, I just want to give you some encouragement. The first thing I want you to know or remind you of is that we hear God with our heart and our mind, not necessarily with our physical ears, although that's happened. But in most cases, or even I'll say in my experience, I hear what God is already, what word is already in me. So whatever I've read in the Bible before, and Mary's going to come up next and tell us a little bit more about feasting and pouring into ourselves from the word. But that's what God usually pours out. And so what happens for me when I journal, I will write, you know, dear God, I write out my prayers, da-da-da-da, and I just brain dump. I just tell them all about it. As I tell my students in the classroom, I talk with my pencil. But I don't stop there. I don't stop with just me doing the talking. When I'm done writing out my prayer, then I start a section where I say, Shawnee, and then I pause, and I wait to hear what verse comes to mind, what verse God reminds me of. And then I write, personalize, Shawnee, and I write that verse. One time recently when I did this, actually it wasn't recently, it was many years ago, because you all are aware that Leonard and I are remarried. So when I was married before, my ex-husband was an alcoholic. He would leave home for months on end and return without any explanation. He had a secret house, he had a secret life, all these things. And so during that marriage, there was a time where I decided I need to call a fast, because my prayer was, God, I need guidance on how to fight for my marriage. I need instruction on what I'm supposed to do. And I remember vividly during the fast, writing out the prayer, pausing, and then writing Shawnee, and I waited. And the verse that came to mind was 2 Chronicles 20:17, which said, you will not have to fight this battle. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. And listen, y'all, I don't have time to tell you all the details, but I will tell you that the happy Lee Ever After's name is Leonard Anderson. So I leave you with this bottom line, and then Mary will take it away. Just during this fast time, I want you to listen. That may not be something that you're comfortable doing, but take some time and listen closely, because God wants to speak to you, y'all.
Going to get the mic turned up a little bit. All right, so it's funny because as we were, Shawnee was talking about listening and hearing from God, I started this week with a whole other message, and God was like, nope, that's not what we're doing. So I love how he did it, but at the same time, it was not how I was anticipating, but I'm encouraged. So I will be giving you guys feasting on the word of God. To feast means to indulge. In our culture, we indulge in a lot of things. Amazon, Netflix, Disney Plus, Prime, Hulu, Max. Like, we have a whole list, y'all. We have options. We have a lot of options. But as we enter into these 21 days of prayer and fasting and feasting, I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to share the why behind the fasting, and not so much compelling you to, or the why behind the feasting and not so much compelling you to feast in the word, but to compel you or to encourage you, jump into this. So many of you guys know that I love music. Many people have been in conversations with me where I will quote a song. I will randomly burst out in song. It is how I'm wired. I don't understand it, but it makes life fun. So I promise I'm not going to sing to you today. But in 2010, a popular song was released. And part of the first verse read, do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again? Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under, screams, but no one hears a thing? How many of you guys have felt that way? How many of you guys have felt that way and still showed up to church on a Sunday morning, and in the parking lot, you're like, let me fix my face, because nobody needs to know. People at church got it together. Y'all, we don't. But even still, you're like, 90 minutes, I can fake a smile, I'll be okay. I have been there. I have been there multiple times, where it has felt like darkness has consumed me, and the enemy thinks, yes, this time will be the time that I get to take her out. But God. So if you will, read with me Psalm 119, verse 105. Nice, loud reading voices. Y'all, I wanted to make you stand up, but y'all got comfortable in your seat, so I'm going to let you sit. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. You see, in the darkness, we feel consumed. But his word, God's word, is a lamp for our feet. It guides our very steps. When we feel tossed back and forth, we can anchor by feasting in the word. So a little object lesson. This here is my dog sitting flashlight. I love dog sitting, y'all. But let me tell you, even when it gets dark outside, the dogs still need to go out. And what I've learned through trial and error, your flashlight on your phone is just not going to cut it. But what I've also learned is when I don't have my flashlight, I am vulnerable to attack. Because I can't see what's around me, what's ahead of me. And you know what else? The dogs are liable to lead me into some mess. And by the mess, I mean a stinky mess. And that mess, it leaves traces everywhere. It leaves a nice path back to where you're going. It leaves a nice path into your house if you didn't catch it. It will stain your carpet. Y'all, I have learned some things. But what I've also learned is when I'm not in the Word of God, I am more vulnerable to attack. I am vulnerable to the schemes of the enemy, especially his lies. And I'm often led into some mess that leaves its evidence on my life, on the lives of our children, other family members, friends, coworkers, and anybody around me. The way we talk about it with children is it leaves some boo-boo. But when we feast on the Word of God, we are able to be anchored in the storms of life, because the storms will come, but we have the opportunity to speak the word to the storm. The enemy has had the same playbook from the very beginning, and it's revealed to us in the word. Y'all, we know what he's doing. Like, it's in here. We just got to read it. In Genesis, we see that the enemy slightly changes up the word that God gave Adam. Just a slight change in words. In the New Testament, when Jesus is fasting, we see the enemy again tempting and manipulating the words. And guess what? Jesus used scripture to fight him. So if Jesus did it, what do you think we ought to do? When we are fasting and praying, the enemy is going to try some things. But when we are in the word and we know it and we build our spiritual muscles, we can fight it with the truth. If you will, read with me Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way, or sit in the company of mockers. If we are not in the Word, we don't know what God considers sin. We try to piece it together by what the pastor said on Sunday, what the Christian influencer said, what the Christian at work said. And we have free access. Like, there's no excuse for us. Can I tell you, our God is so kind and loving that he doesn't expect you to fix all your stuff at once. A lot of times what he does is, especially during times of prayer and fasting, he reveals one thing to you, allows you to work on that, get that together, then reveals another thing. It is his kindness and his goodness that he's not like, magic eraser, take your whole life apart, we're gonna start again. But that's our culture, right? We're like, new year, new me, start again. We're gonna do all these things. As Pastor Jen said last week, little by little. So let's continue to read. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? And who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Many of you guys heard meditates on his law day and night, and you were like, I don't have time for that. Let me tell you, our brains overcomplicate it. Because God wants to meet you right where you are. If you are in a busy season, maybe a portion of your commute is listening to the Bible. Maybe it's getting up 15 minutes earlier. Getting into the Word is how we get anchored, like the tree whose root system is interwoven with others and gets its nutrients, get the nutrients it needs to produce the fruit. Also, when those roots grow down and interwoven, it is difficult for a storm to take those trees out. In the next 21 days and beyond, as we feast and indulge in God's word, keep in mind, it is daily bread. It is daily nourishment. If you miss a day, don't quit. Commit to picking it back up immediately. That's one thing that we often do. We're like, we'll wait till Monday. I'll fix it on Saturday. Pick it right back up immediately and follow through. Create a rhythm. Look at your schedule and decide, this portion is to be in God's word. There was a season for me. Y'all, my life was crazy. I mean, it's crazy now, but it was crazy. Where my Bible time was listening to it on CD. That, y'all, it was listening to it on CD on my way to work. I commuted from Clinton to La Plata for work, worked 40 hours, did 30 hours in ministry, and I was going to school. Crazy. Crazy. In this season of life, though, as soon as I wake up, it's my Bible time because my phone gets in my hand. Once that phone's in my hand, everybody's text I'm reading what happened yesterday in the news, what happened on Facebook, what happened to the people downtown, all the things. So it is before I touch my phone, as soon as I get up, figure out what works for you. What rhythm do you need to create? With that, prepare for it. We all have our things. For me, it's a particular chair. That space needs to be cleaned up before I ever go to bed. Because in the morning, if something's there, I'm like, squirrel, squirrel. Because it's the, oh, I need to put this away, which leads to, I see something else. I need to do something else. Oh, now it's time to get ready for work. So before I ever go to bed, my space is cleared out and ready to go for the morning. Enter into that time with anticipation that God is going to speak to you. Don't go in wanting to check the box. I read my Bible, check. Did my chapter, pat on the back. Invite Holy Spirit to cause something to stand out to you. Invite Holy Spirit to speak to you. Invite Holy Spirit to give new revelation to a passage you've already read. You guys, one quick testimony. Do you know, 2 years ago, I was reading. We always talk about Dalton Thomas in church. Do y'all know the verse, the way, the truth, and the life? That came because Thomas doubted. So we give him a hard time because why? Because we have no problem quoting that verse in church. Just saying. Anyways, have a willingness to obey what it is God says to do. I say that with a caveat. God will never ask you to do something that contradicts scripture. So don't get in the Old Testament and be like, oh, I can take this person out because in Leviticus it said, No. Check your Bible. Go back, read it again. And then last, know that as you indulge in God's word, it is personal. Comparison can be the devil's playground. We are all different and unique, and we will hear from God in a way that is personal to us. We are all in different seasons of life with different experiences that we bring to the table. Our God is that much into the details that we will hear him differently, but saying the same thing. Let me tell you one story. We were in prayer group, and we did an activity, and it was God said, walking up the steps, I'm supposed to color, so we colored. Do you remember this, Ryan? Let me tell y'all, Ryan's excitement, because I drew a watering can, and he drew a watering can, y'all, it was amazing. The excitement in the room, because nobody talked. We're sitting on opposite sides of the conference table. Only thing that's playing is music, and we're all just listening to God. How many people think to draw a watering can? God. So, as we feast on the word, can I encourage us? We often look at our Bibles as a book of rules and how we're going to get in trouble. Can we look at it as a book of 66 love letters that God has given us to direct our lives? So with that, I'm going to call on Amanda to take us home.
Thank you. So I was asked to wrap up the message and talk about our 21 days of transformation that's coming up. But as I listened to David and Shawnee and Mary, I feel like God has given me something to tell you. Because they are talking. David told us, listen for the Lord's voice. Seek God's purpose in these 21 days. Shawnee says, listen closely. You will hear him. And Mary started us off by reminding us that the Lord said, I will be a path to your feet. I will light the path. So I'm hearing that transformation, motivation, movement is going to come out of this 21 days. And that God said to me to say to you, trust me. I will speak to you and I will light the path, and I need you to stand up and go. So that's just, somehow I was just circling words while I'm a note taker, so you'll always see me on a Sunday with this, and today I was just circling words, and I feel like that's what God gave me to say to you. But what Pastor Jen actually asked me to do was connect this sort of to our disciple-making movement. A few months ago, she shared that as a lead team, we had gone on retreat and decided our goal for this year was to create a culture of disciple making. So how does this connect to that goal? You might have you ever thought about what is a disciple and what is disciple making? If you read through the Gospels, you'll notice a pattern of two words that Jesus said as he called his 12. He said, "Follow me." And then for 3 years, they moved together and he showed them how he lived. And with the emphasis, don't forget, follow me. So he showed his disciples how to be disciples by doing what he did. And he prioritized his vertical relationship with the Lord. And he went places to pray by himself, the way David talked about. He spoke to us about fasting with the assumption, I don't have scriptures, I didn't bring any specific ones, but if you read, you will see he speaks to us about fasting, assuming that we will. Not that just we wait till church tells us to, and that we have this 21 days is great, and I'm going to tell you a little more about why it's so great in a minute, but it is a rhythm of our lives that he showed us to do, as he says, follow me. And then he knew the word, he taught the word, he feasted and shared the word. So all of these things that we heard about today are part of discipling. And the thing is that what we do in disciple making, so a lot of these spiritual practices will help us in our foundational work becoming disciples. In Matthew 28, it says, go and make disciples. So don't forget that. As you learn and grow, as you listen to the Lord's voice, it is to become disciple makers. Those scriptures don't say, come and be disciples. It says, go make disciples. So that is where the sort of corporate movement and our cultural change, as we grow as individuals, it is for the purpose for Bridge Church to be a mobilized movement in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our marketplace. It is not to just come and be. We must come and be with the Lord to go and be disciple makers. So that's how all of this relates to the community purpose of Bridge Church. So to shift to the 21 days and how it's going to kind of look, what it will be is wonderful opportunities to practice the individual practices that were discussed today in our time and in our individual time, but also to allow for community prayer, community feasting on the word. There'll be prayer calls and I'm reading from this, by the way, this little flyer, and our host team on your way out today, stop and see them. They'll have one for each of you. And I know, David, you put a little pressure on when you were like, scan this thing right now if you don't have it, because everybody's going to get a little flyer. And so if you didn't pull out your phone when David said to, you'll get this from the host team, and it has the you take it with you, and it has it has that on it. But so on Tuesday evenings, and So I'm going over this, what's back here. You'll see it's got the prayer, it's a call line. So you can just refer back to your handout with the phone number and the conference ID. We still have our Thursday evening in-person prayer. It's put on here like it's a 3-week thing. That is always going on. that is when you can get shoulder to shoulder with, that's what Mary was talking about, like in the prayer group. That's not just, I mean, come January 9th, 16th, 23rd, but it's ongoing. And that's upstairs in the Bridge Conference Room. And then we've talked a lot about our media. Pastor Jen talked about the media fast, at least an hour a day. I know some people are doing something different. Some people might be doing it not an hour a day, like certain media, if you're really have a struggle letting go of, maybe you want to do that for 21 days, not just in an hour a day, but whatever you choose. Then feasting on the Word of God. The great thing about the app is if you're doing an hour a day, we're going to have the Book of John loaded in the app, and it's an awesome app where you can tap on whatever you're listening to that day, and if you're a visual person, it scrolls on the screen, but you hear it, and it's super cool. There's like a whole bunch of different, there's British people, like some like women, men. There's a calming voice, a strong voice. Like you can pick. I listened to all of them. It was. I felt like I was in a crowd. When you do your personal time, feasting on John, just a chapter a day, listen to it. I walk a lot during. I'm a teleworker, so I take my lunch break and walk. So I'm planning to listen as I walk. That's what I'm going to do. But then on Wednesdays upstairs, at the time when we usually do our Wednesday group, Pastor Jen and I are going to be up there. And that'll be another opportunity for community engagement in the Word. This coming Wednesday, I'm going to do a little lesson on the type of journaling I do when I read. And we'll do it together. And then the other two, Pastor Jen or I will have other little lessons, but that will be the Wednesday nights will be for community together engaging in Bible reading. Thursdays, community prayer. So again, and then it will conclude on January 26th, 5 to 6 p.m. Is that here? That's here, right, Pastor Rick? Yeah. So that'll be an hour evening of worship and praise to finish it up. So again, and on the back of this that you'll get today, it will give you a little, if you can't make it on Wednesday, a little, it's not little, it's a lot of words on the back. This is what I'm going to be going over on Wednesday, but it's a little easy to go over in person. So if you're free Wednesday, come and I'll go over that. I think that's about it.